It was summer 1975, and I had slept till 11 o'clock that morning. I was at that age, and it was that season, when realizing the significance of time is impossible. I only knew for sure that for me, being in third grade in Los Angeles was better than being anywhere in England. The California sunshine was so healing, I almost forgot the British and their racism, which we had left behind the previous year. Sitting up in bed, I heard a wailing so much like a dying animal. Panicked, I followed the noise to the living room, and there, my father was a blubbering man-child, panting and heaving, tears and mucus mingling, so broken I thought he would never recover. Over and over, he shouted, "Hi, Bibi, hi, Bibi." As my mother tried to comfort him, I realized he was calling his own mother, who he called Bibi, and we children called Mati. My paternal grandparents were still living back in England, and I hardly thought of them anymore. "Mati died," my mother said, wiping her cheeks. In an instant, I was transported to their cold brick house in Manchester, and to my grandfather's roughness. Whichever room he was in grew dark and smoky from his Dunhill cigarettes. When he was in his leather chair reading the Daily Mirror, my aunts and uncles tiptoed away. Only Mati remained at his beck and call. I thought of her lopsided walk, crumpled saris and messy hair, her grimy kitchen and sink full of dirty dishes. I remembered her labored Punjabi and rudimentary English. I pictured her horn-rimmed reading glasses, even though she didn't read. But I forgot her eyes. They said it was a heart attack that killed her, but I wondered if that tender, pulsing organ of hers had given up on saving her and called a truce, letting death be the victor. As I watched my father's grief pour out, a past scene I thought was buried rushed back, and I again saw that day. We had been visiting my grandparents in Manchester, and I stumbled upon a fight. "You useless slob," my grandfather barked, pushing Mati against the wall. "You dummy." No one protested, in spite of her helplessness and his cruelty. I understood my father's river of sorrow. He was the most protective of her, but always surrendered to his own father, leaving his mother defenseless. By evening, our home was filled with acrid anguish, like the smell of burnt milk, like England's gloom, like the end of the world. And yet, we stood by like dutiful soldiers, ready to battle for my father and poised to keep our California dream alive.